Welcome into episode 99 of Caithness Craft Collective. I'm Louise and today I've got a blether with, I've got 99 problems but yarn ain't one, What's a Crack, Runny Runny Runny, the Swap section, Me 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 section, Caithness section and a Shoppy section. And I've got Quattro, whom I tried to get rid of through in the room but he objected and started woofing and squeaking. I was listening to last episode and I knew he was out the house. I couldn't understand when I heard him breathing, heavy breathing, why he wasn't in the house beside me when I was listening back. To me, it's a comfort thing, but you might find it creepy. He's a lovely wee doggy, so don't be scared. But you might hear the heavy breathing and the pitter-patter. He's part of the show, I suppose. I sponsor this for my own energy engineering business, Energy Hunt. Any links are with the show notes, so please get your cup of tea or your dram. I'll let you know what your crack is in Caithness this week.
Now for the blather.
The blather. If you're having yarn problems, I feel bad for you, Mum. I got 99 problems, but yarn ain't one. Hit me. Yeah, go through. This tune kept coming back to me. Then I got the lyrics and I tried to change them a bit to fit the podcast, but Jay-Z didn't make it easy. I like the tune. It's quite good to run to, but the lyrics, they make me angry. They've always annoyed me. And I couldn't understand half of what he said, and I just let the music wash over me. And then I read them. Jay-Z had serious anger issues, especially when he refers to females in a derogatory manner, and he apparently only stopped doing this when he had his own daughter. Well, he didn't, Beyoncé did. To be fair, I think it's his upbringing, his story, why he does, but I don't like how he does. He does rather helpfully have a line in it saying, if you don't like my lyrics, fast forward, so he must know that he's being controversial. Didn't make me want to like him anymore though. And I would hate for someone to call my daughter this or myself, even though sticks and stones can break my bones, but names will never hurt me. I can't be telling you what the word is on account of this being a family show, and it's not a really serious bad one, apart from you referring to the correct definition, which is a female dog. But I'll not be sharing his lyrics anymore. It always bothered me, this song. I get annoyed that I like the tune, but the lyrics make me angry. Angry someone can refer to all females as female dogs. It's not meant in a nice way. And I know that in some places in the world, people have started to use it as a matter of course. Now, Rihanna was on a chat show in the UK a few years ago, and she was talking about her female friends as the female dogs. And I thought, I don't agree with that at all. You can't have one thing and demand another. This world is hard enough. I hope you aren't in this place, because to me, it demeans a female. It labels them and not in a nice way. This world is hard enough without having extra pigeonholing to contend with. I'm someone, probably naively, who believes that all people in the world should be equal and treated with respect when they earn it, but not if they don't, but on an individual basis. I don't agree with labelling a whole country or race or persuasion or gender with a name. People are all very different, so don't give them derogatory names. We're not in primary school anymore, Jay-Z. Diane Jensen showed this wonderful picture on Facebook that suggested instead of calling your daughter a princess, call her a warrior, brave, a leader, curious, kind-hearted, detective, creative, strong, generous, smart, determined, teacher, good sibling, etc, etc. And the same obviously can go to the boys. My Sandy's all those things too. Maybe I'm more conscious of Daisy being pigeonholed than he is, because he's a boy. Oh, I'm a bit ranty pants here, aren't I? I've been trying to think of something for the blather, and then I thought, 99 Balloons by Nina, but then it's quite controversial as well, because the lyrics are about a country going to war on account of the 99 balloons floating in the summer sky, and one side's faulty self-defence system going to war. It's an anti-nuclear protest song. Again, I like the tune, no idea what it meant, then I read up on it. It's got a great drum beat going on, and the music is a bit mullet-tastic, because it's from the 80s. And if you get extra points, if you can sing it in German. So it's 99 red balloons floating in the summer sky. Panic lads, it's a red alert. There's something here for somewhere else. Ooh. There's a lot of bizarre things on Google if you type in the number 99. There's an Islamic superhero comic, pretty cool. The Occupy movement, which is We Are the 99%, and a magazine. 99%, almost there. I wait with bated breath when my podcast is uploading, when it gets to 99%, because it tickers you through, and I'm waiting to see if it gets to 100% and upload successfully, or That's happened a few times. Bombed out of me. 99% is not 100%. 100% is gold. 99% silver or bronze. The slight difference in achieving the goal, not quite there. We saw that in the Winter Olympics, where they were skiing down the hill to a time, and the people in the top five, there was 0.3 of a second's difference between some of them. And that 0.3 of a second makes all the difference in all the world. But in the other sense, 0.3 of a second is the time where I would breathe in and out. It just depends on what you're doing. It's all relative. In the craft sense, 99% of your project is casting it off and then having to block it or sew in the ends or sew in the buttons and make it complete to wear. So if you add in that 1% at the end, make that part of the project instead of, I'm 100% finished this. Oh no, I've still got to go this bit and putting it off and never get the use out of the garment. 99 pence is to think we're getting a bargain. The object is on sale for £9.99. I mean, you really know it costs £10, but because it's £9.99, marketing thinks that you don't feel quite so bad. Big marketing tool. Always think £10, not £9.99 like they want you to. We've got shops in the UK called the 99 pence shop, and they sell things that are all supposedly 99. Some of them are 2 or 3, 4 items for 99 pence, and some items are over 99 pence, but end with 99 pence. You get sometimes get acrylic yarn in them and other crafty items too. Some other items aren't of great quality, but the 99 pence thinks you are getting a bargain. So they're very competitive just now, with and more people shopping them with the financial situation being the way it is. But just watch you're not getting fleeced, because some of the items are cheaper in the other shops, but they bump up these items to 99p to cover the other items that they've pushed down to 99 pence. Ah, see, got to be a good shopper here. Don't get duped into thinking that 99 makes it cheaper. Don't be fooled into thinking that 99 is all there is. Go for gold. Finish sewing on those buttons. Actually, the more I think about it, the more I'm feeling sorry for 99. It's a step to 100. It doesn't really get the love it deserves. Nobody stays on the 99 if they possibly can help it. This is my 99th episode. I'm nearly at 100. And it won't make it 100%, as I fully intend to carry on for a while longer. Or at least until you've gotten fed up listening to me anyway. Plus, I've just renewed my Podbean podcast host platform for another year. So this means you think you're getting a bargain. And guess what the cost was? Yep, $99. So if you need a pee, stop. I feel bad for your mum. I got 99 problems, but it's time for the Daisy and Sandy giggle, and that didn't work. I'm not a very good rapper, am I? I think the play their last episode was, I would have to say, I was quite impressed with myself for thinking that. We've had some lovely messages from you about it, so thank you. And if you've not listened to episode 98, it's one of my favourite blathers of all time. From me. There are other people that do blathers, but this is my favourite one.
Hello, 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 hello.
Hello section. A Sandy hello to new to me, been with me a while now and been with me forever listeners. I do appreciate you tuning in and I hope you enjoy it. A Sandy hello to lots of new group members. The group, by the way, is the Keithness Craft Collective group on Ravelry. I keep forgetting to tell you that, but now I don't. Stumpy01 is new. Debris UK is new. Not Just Hats. Poked a Goblin. Les Deer. Crazy Knitting Fool. Heather MG. MLC Spouse. Vivi Knits. And I've had some lovely messages, and some of you I follow through other social media anyway, and some of you I recognise from other podcasts. So hello to Poked a Goblin, because I know you come from a different podcast. I hear your names. And I like hearing your names going to the podcast that I listen to. And I think, oh, that's one of my listeners. So it's nice. And random hellos to the lovely Mim from Wiltshire, from last episode, Trekkie, Saratoga Knitting, Thistle Ridge Farms, and the very lovely Kyle Pat and her Al.
What's a crack, section?
So what's a crack? Centenary episode next episode. And we're going to have a party, which will be the 100th episode. So, I think I've mentioned this a few times. You getting the gist of this? And if you'd like to join in the celebrations of 4 years of me and 100 episodes of me, you're more than welcome. And You could either send me a 30-second sound clip, which you can record on your phone, and you email it to me at caithnesscraftcollective@gmail.com. And I've only got one so far. One, full stop, one. Not that I'm needy or anything. Well, I am very needy. But I would like you to be involved somehow, so come on, get involved. And again, if you have a shop or promoting something, or you wish to do a giveaway, or you're just promoting something, I would like to include you. Don't be shy. But do it kind of soon, because I want to put the 100th episode out in 2 weeks' time. Also, if you have a very favourite blether or giggle or lobster joke, please let me know and I'll troll through the archives for you. Again, no one? Bueller? Can't remember the next line. Ravelinix. Well, it's over and done with. It's over and done with. Name the band. Team GB did the very best that they've done since 1924. They got one gold, one silver and two bronze. I know, it's not very much, is it? I have to confess, I normally love Canada. Canadians, all things, eh? Well, I'm not a fan of the men's Canadian curling team. Oh, I was a bad loser. There was no sportsmanship with me, I have to say. I know, we were outclassed and they did deserve the gold. I thought, yeah, you are winter. Well, we've got spring already. And hey, warmer here, no snow. And we've got crocuses. However, I have kept all these thoughts to myself. And apart from them five men, I do love Canada again. Especially when they're playing other teams and not the men's team GB curling. Because I was wanting a gold. But I really loved watching the Olympics. Winter Olympics. And I've got withdrawal symptoms. Of no curling tension, no skeleton screaming, no snowboards, freestyle dudeing. So whatever sport you got into, I hope you enjoyed it as much as I did. So how did you get on with your Ravelinix project? I didn't take part in a team, but I did try to make socks. Well, I made one sock. It was cast on the opening ceremony and finished before the closing ceremony. And I would have liked the Olympics to have been an extra 2 weeks longer so I could have gotten the second sock made too. But I might just include the Paralympics then. And I know there's some sick jokes in there. I'm not going there. Job done. However, I'm kind of feeling that I've got third sock syndrome because I had already made this sock but ripped it out because it didn't fit correctly. And now I'm going to have to make it a third time. But I was quite pleased with the fit of the sock. It stays up much better and I had gone down a couple of needle sizes on the cuff. But the cast on line was a wee bit tight when pulling it on, so I'll have to get used to that. So well done to you for all getting your goals achieved and carrying out and just being involved and being great. Unless, of course, you're the men's Canadian curling team. I don't like you. And it's not me. It is you. I'll stop that joke next week. And I mentioned Sarah last week about the flock of Jacob sheep. Her Facebook page is called Firth View Jacob. That's F-I-R-T-H-V-I-E-W Jacob. I told her that I'd mentioned her on here and said about going posting abroad, but she said she wasn't sure she was going to post them abroad because it's quite a fair amount of work washing the fleeces. But if you're abroad and you are still interested, go on to the page and then ask her, see if she'd do it. She most certainly is going to post them in the UK anyway, and I've heard how she's going to package them, so it's quite nice. So therefore, if you're a UK spinner, go to Firth View Jacob on Facebook and befriend her and get your paws on the fleece when it is eventually taken off the sheep. Because, although I'm saying it's spring, it's still a little bit cold. But, even if you're not wanting it, just go on and befriend her. Somebody else to look at sheep. Some of you like doing that. Thank you for contributing to the Freshen It Up requests. You very kindly didn't give me any complaints, but more requests of sections that you want to keep. Please carry on with requests of things that you'd like to hear about. And actually, if you have any other questions for Louise like we did previously, please put them on here and we can answer them for the 100th episode.
Coming up, it's there.
Coming up. The Glasgow ACC on the weekend of the 6th to the 9th of March is hosting the ICHF Creative Stitches and Hobbycraft Show. I would love to go, but as this one's got a great creative stitches hall where they focus on my kind of crafting. The hobbycrafts tend to be mostly card making and the costumes from Les Miserables, the film, on display, and there'll be plenty to go and see. And I'm sure most of the Glasgow-based or south of Scotland-based crafters will be having a wee look in there too. I'd recommend going and taking your lunch with you. And if you take public transport or park over the walkway, because the SEC car park price is horrendous now. On the 24th of May, upcoming, is the Highland Wool Festival. Helen's Ripple Crafts was saying the other day that the marketplace has had to turn away stallholders, so it's shaping up to be really great. And I noticed that she had two knitting classes, workshops. You can go and have a look, find that out. And I'm really looking forward to meeting Sheila from the Black Hill Crafts podcast and Louise Scully from the Knit British podcast and any other listeners who are going. And that's in Dingwall, near Inverness. And if you're from further south, do come up for the day because we are wonderful in the Highlands of Scotland. Unwind Brighton, I'll mention this once more until we get a bit closer. On the 12th and 13th of July, there's a wonderful wool event in Brighton Dome's Corn Exchange. And guess who's going? Me. Yes, I know. It just coincides on purpose with my holiday. And I know quite a few of you listeners are going, and I think I'm going to go on the Sunday. Although, I'm not taking any classes, and if the weather's good on Saturday, I might change it because the family are planning to come down too, because they want to go to the beach and for a croissant at the, I think it's a Café Rouge, which is the wee coffee shop opposite the registry office in the Lanes. And the Lanes are some oldie worldy wee thin streets, and they've got some pretty funky shops there. So I'm going to dump the children and the husband and come and hail the yarn fumes with you. So I'm most looking forward to that.
Runny, runny, runny.
The past week, I'm now up to 9.2 kilometres non-stop, which is the two loops that I run from my house together, just minus an extra bit to make it to the 10k. And I did consider doing that, but my Achilles was twinging near the end, as it was further than I had done before. So I listened to my body and I moseyed on quite slowly. And this weekend, Richard's coming with me to do the whole 10k, or he mentioned it, but I think he might renege on this. But I'm quite looking forward to actually doing the whole 10k. And then I'm going to work on getting a faster speed, because it took me an hour and 5 minutes to do 9k. And I think I can do it in under an hour. And then on the group thread, there was discussion about having more than one pair of trainers, which I thought was quite interesting. And this helps you have a good pair of trainers all the time, because I have one pair of trainers and then I wear them and wear them and wear them and then all of a sudden I realise they're actually not supporting my feet very well. So if you have two pairs of trainers running at the same time, well, you're doing the running, they're just having to be on your feet, then you've got going to have better support for your feet at all times. So Richard has, but I'm still working on getting myself a second pair. I currently use Nike Airs and he has Asics. And I had some New Balance trainers the last time, but I'm not so keen on them anymore. So that's the runny, runny, runny this episode. A lot shorter.
The swap section.
Swap. I think that the last under the kilo swap is almost completed. There was one package I knew had not been posted, but this was due to ill health and snow. And I think it's on its way now, and all was well as the swapper had informed the swappee what was going on. And that is a big rule, everyone. Inform your swappee of what you are doing at all times, in regards to the swap, not as in, I am now having a cup of tea. I am now walking over to kick the dog. The question of putting up photos onto the group, the thread, came up again. Now, I don't mind if you don't manage to put a photo up what you receive, as long as you acknowledge what you get and who from. But some of the swappies do like to see the photograph of what was received on the thread. Now, I can understand this because it shows that they're a good swapper and it's polite and courteous of the receiver to do so. However, some people aren't actually able to do that, like my mum. She's never figured it out. But because she has a good daughter who can tell you lovely listeners to be aware of this, that she can't do it. But her daughter isn't that good because she could actually take the photograph for her and put it on. I never thought about that, did I? Anyway, if there's technical difficulties, then fair enough, I'll let you off, but I would request that if you possibly can, please put up a photograph. So please bear this in mind if you're taking part in the next swap. And I suppose you're taking a punt on these swaps. The fact that we're sending out into the postal system something that cost us hard-earned money, blood, sweat and tears sometimes, and they sadly don't always get to the other person in one piece, or at all. Or the other thing might be you might not get the same amount of what you've received. So both of these reasons, I thank you for taking the punt and taking part. Oh, mentioned the next swap. Well, some of you have come up with the same idea. 100 of something. And as much as I love you and how cool it would be to receive 100 craft items, I thought I would scale this one down to 100 grams of yarn. We all love yarn, don't we? Although some of us may love it more than others. So, 100 grams of 4-ply yarn, because you get a decent amount of yardage out of that, and it means that you'll be able to make some kind of accessory from it. So I'll put a thread up if you're interested for the next swap.
The beaker section.
Section. I am finished crocheting. I know, finished something. The Infinity and Beyond Broomstick Lace Infinity Scarf by Heidi Neely. And I used the golden skein yarn from Sparkle Duck, and it's fingering weight, and it's got 55% wool, 45% silk, and it's in the Clouds Or Began to Break colourway. And it's really bonny. I was wearing it this morning. I went for 3 wraps around my throat, my neck, and now I have an entry for the Canasby Show because they are doing infinity scarves. Actually, what do you qualify as an infinity scarf? Does it twist or is that a Mobius? Answers in the postcard. And I've carried on again with the Karina Westerman pattern Tornved shawl because I've put the sock aside. I haven't cast on the second sock yet. And I'm using Old Meldon Ant 4-ply Selkie, which is a dark, dark grey. And I'd gone a bit wrong, and I had ripped it back to the previous lace section, and then I'd knit up 2 lines. And then I think I was right in the first place. I think my yarn overs were in the wrong place, which was what was putting me off. And again, I need to rip back. It's going a bit slowly just now. But it's because I had left it because of the doing the sock. I did, however, finish the top of my jelly roll quilt. After, of course, some triangles being sewn on wrong. See, sewing goes wrong too as knitting. However, I finally got the top together on Monday, and it was instead of hoovering, I have to say. I thought I've got enough time to hoover or enough time to put this quilt together. I think I'll put the quilt together and I did the hoovering later. I disappeared into a book the other day, and it's called Follow Your Dove by Catherine M. Byrne, B-Y-R-N-E, Byrne. And I very much enjoyed it, even if it was a little, maybe, on the Mills and Boons route, as Mum called it. I think Mum just likes gory crime novels. It's set in Orkney at the turn of the 19th century, and it's a love story, but it's got a very strong female lead called Isa, and this is our story about falling in love with Davy. And they visit Wick at one point when the herring boom was on and the harbour plays a big role in it. The author lived around here, but I'm not sure if it's Caithness or Orkney. I couldn't put it down, so I'd recommend it. And you can get it and her other book on Kindle, I believe. So listening, I found Curious Handmade with Helen Stewart. Someone mentioned her a wee while ago on a podcast, but I never followed it up at the time. And then she follows me on Instagram and I realised, oh, that's Helen Stewart. Oh, hey, I'll give her a wee go. She's got an Antipodean accent and she lives London way and she talks about knitting and she even had an interview with Amy Singer from Knitty on her second episode. Turns out that Helen was at the Glasgow School of Yarn the same day as me, but she was in different classes to me and we didn't know each other then. I don't know if she listens, but hello Helen if you are. Now she's a person that asks designers to interview them and not like me, who's a bit shy in person to do that. Anyway, she was a good interviewer and she's got 16 episodes. And whilst I've only listened to a couple so far, I very much enjoyed them and would recommend Curious Handmade with Helen Stewart as a podcast for you. On to the collective. Textile artist. Ella was back from her travels and she had 2 quilts and 2 lap crochet blankets, which was very cool. I asked her if she slept and she says, sometimes. Shirley has framed up her Caithness skyline, including some wind turbine piece, and she's been embroidering on to the wee peg loom strips that she'd started last time. She had one for the land that had some sheep needle felted on, and she was rummaging about for some beads for the blue one, which was for the sea, and then she was going on to the sky one. So it was quite nice to watch her working. Catherine had a small baby quilt from scrap materials that she quilted. I don't know how she'd call it if she finished it, but of course I have no photo. And it was really bonny in lemons and blue squares. And there was still quite a fair amount of work had gone into it, even with it's quite small. And then she carried on crocheting her twig. Crochet is not just for granny squares, or even just for grannies. Joan was there with her beautiful geisha panel that she's embroidering onto. She's put some beads on and some metallic threads. She's hand quilting it at the same time, so it's going to be amazing when she's finished. Dorothy was working on a pre-printed tapestry piece with wools. And I didn't actually get the story behind that this time. Valerie came in and then she was reading Shirley's books, and we discussed the fact that we'd been asked to contribute the next great Scottish tapestry book. They currently have two books out in print. One you must buy, because I've got it, with all the panels in it. And the other one's the preemptive, cheaper version. And this book is to be the one with the human stories behind the tapestry. We reckon that they must want to keep the momentum going on the project. And so we've got to put together 1,000 words from the group on any areas of interest. So suggestion was, say you took it on holiday with you, or someone came on holiday to stitch on it, or why you specifically chose what part square that you put in and what was the story behind it, you know, that kind of thing. Because the great book that we had, it just had a picture of the panel, the historic information beside it and who stitched it and where. There was no human interest story in it. And I do remember commenting to you at the time that I was a little bit disappointed that wasn't there, but I could understand why not, because it was thick enough book as it was. So I think this must be the extra book to contain this. But they're trying to keep the momentum going so that they can afford to put the tapestry around the country and possibly abroad, because it does cost money to exhibit these things. And it is currently in Aberdeen. So if you're in Aberdeen, neck of the woods, feel free to go along. Off the top of my head, I can't remember where, but it can't be too hard. I'm sure it'll be on Union Street. I have all the photographs of what I've been talking about, and it's at www.keithnesttextileartist.blogspot.com for a nosy. I'll have to put them up first. And I had taken along the pre-treated white cotton, which was just the right width for the back of my jelly roll quilt. I laid the quilt top out and I asked them what colour to do the backing sheet, what colour to do the border, and how I should quilt it together. So the collective we decided on brown for backing, and I've got some of the material left to do the binding that from the quilt itself, and I shall quilt it not quite in the ditch and around the pinwheel squares, because the diamonds don't need any more, they don't particularly need to be emphasised, but the pinwheels do. So I got out the dye and then decide chestnut brown. Perfect. Oh, and I'll put speckles of turquoise, like some of the batik fabric I've got in the quilt. Well, if you put a little bit too much speckles of turquoise, it makes light teal with the chestnut brown, if you don't speckle it but pour it on. So it came out with it as a teal that clashed with the turquoise on the top. Big sigh. So yesterday morning I set about over dyeing it. I asked for advice on Twitter for what colours to go with, and the marvellous Helen of Ripple's Craft suggested snipping off a few bits and testing it. And thank you to Lumpadoodle too, because she had some good advice. I snipped off a wee bit, and then I got Sandy's colour pens out and started colouring over things. First I did it on a white piece of paper, and then I did it on the material. And I've got a set of 6 Procyon dies from Colour Craft, which I bought at the SEC Craft Fair Creative Stitches a few years ago. They include salt, urea, dye fixer and some Manitex, I don't know what that is, along with the dyes and gloves and pipettes and a sponge. And it cost me £15.86, reduced from £18.99, which is £19, really. Remember, 99. And it's a bit more complicated than what I'm used to with the Chemtex Procyon dyes, where you put it on, soda ash it and my stuff and that's it. But I sort of followed the instructions and it's come out a rich brown with bits of pink and speckles of green and turquoise showing through it. It does look hand-dyed, but I quite like it because it's deep. It's got layers, like onions. And then I used magenta and lemon yellow. Then I thought, is that right? And then I used golden yellow with some scarlet, just to be on the safe side because it looked more brown. But a lot of the time when you've got a dye in a dye pot, it doesn't look the same colour as what it will come out on white fabric or coloured fabric, because when you start with coloured fabric, you've got to therefore change it. You know, the whole colour wheel thing of yellow and blue make green. And then if you add something else to that, you normally get brown. Which is ironic, really, because that's what I wanted was brown. And then I couldn't help it, but I sprinkled it with an itty-bitty tiny little amount of turquoise. And thankfully it didn't come out green. And I ironed it this morning, and I put it over the quilt just to make sure it goes with it. Which it does. Hooray! And the next stage is to put it in its sandwich and quilt through it. Now you might hear a helicopter-copter-wopter going off over my head. If it's coming north to south, that's the happy copter because they're going home from the rigs. And if it's going south to north, they're grumpy because they're going to work. And when I say quilt, I mean sew through the three layers that defines it as a quilt. Well, and I think that's about me. I didn't actually do an awful lot of crafting in the past couple of weeks with watching. We had a week off with the bairns and we went to Inverness for a night to stay at the Kingsmill Hotel, which we got a good deal in, and I'd recommend it. It's got a little swimming pool and a gym, and the bairns both learned to swim properly. Now, they could swim very well underwater, but coming back up for air and then swimming along again was getting, come on, you can do it. And eventually both of them got the confidence up and did it, so it was great. And we also went to, I forgot to mention this was brilliant. We went to Fort George, which is a working barracks of the Highlanders. Well, it's now a regiment of Scotland, but it used to be home to the Seaforth Highlanders, the Queen's Highlanders, the Gordon Highlanders, and the Lovett Scouts. And it's owned and run by Historic Scotland and the military. So they've got the working barracks in this area, which I was amazed that you could walk around with the security being the way it is these days. But it was built in 1763. Well, this is going off the top of my head, so it might not be slightly right, but it wasn't too long after the Jacobite Rebellion in 1745. So they built this just to the right of Inverness, at a place called Ardersier, on a spit of land that goes into the Murray Firth, and it was well defended, and it's to stop the uprising from the Highlanders again. And you get to go round, and they've got an awful lot of the bits the way it used to be in 1700 and then the 1800s, and then they've got the museums of all the old uniforms and the medals. And then it comes, there's a special exhibit on the First World War because it's 100 years since the start of the First World War. We went in, and it's a great big place for the bairns to run around in, which is great. You can take your dog in to most of it. Can't take it into the cafe, obviously. And on exhibit in the Highlander Museum, they had at least a dozen of the Victoria Crosses that some of the members of the Highlanders had achieved in their careers, and then they donated to the museum latterly. A lot of the medals or the Victoria's Crosses are posthumously awarded, and the Victoria Cross is a whole episode in itself, but they're very rarely given out because it's the highest honour that the military can bestow on a soldier. And it's quite humble to see it. And then there was a couple of things that got us. One of them was there was a cigarette, a little metal cigarette case, and through it was a bullet hole. And the soldier survived because of this. And sadly, and a little while later in the war, he died. But this cigarette holder saved his life that time. And then around the corner from there, there was one of the metal hats that they wore on their heads. And this was worn by the padre. And there was a bullet hole right the way through, but just at the front, and it missed him. Now, he survived the war, but it's all these little stories that make it into, well, it makes your hair stand on end, and trying to impress the children that this was important to learn. So we don't forget, and we learn the lessons, and we try to not go that way again. Wish. However, very, very good place to go and visit all historic Scotland places. Whilst they are quite expensive, and we in Caithness don't have any close by us, but they're always worth a visit. So if you see one, do go. And we've got plans to go to Edinburgh Castle and Scarabray and all these. But you get a little dictaphone ear thing that you can listen to when they have numbers all the way around, and you press the number into it and you can listen to a bit more information, which is always good because we like to listen, don't we? So, that was me. Oh, quattro.
The Caithness section.
Right, Caithness segment. Scooby-Doo, Scooby-Doo yourselves back in time again. Hello, quattro. Previously on Caithness Game of Thrones, we said fare thee well to Svein and Rognvald. I've picked Quattro up, by the way, hence the noise. This episode welcomes in the Sinclair clan, but first we've got to get rid of the Vikings. And I tried to write this last night, but instead I read the whole chapter about them and I got a bit befuzzled, because there's a lot of them. And I thought, oh no, I've got to put this in my own words and to tell you, whilst I'm following a book, I don't want to plagiarise it. And it seems a bit drier than the Vikings. Well, the book has it a bit drier, so let's see how I get on. We had Rognvald die off, and Earl Harald Madur Darson takes over. King David I of Scotland likes him, and he's got ideas about taking over Caithness. He approves that he's done this. That's a bit Facebook, isn't it? Harald Madur Darson's status changes from co-earl to earl, with a capital E. King David likes this. However, this Harald was not as astute as Rognvald, and he seems to side with the losers. And then there's a bit of dispute about the kingship of Norway. He chooses the wrong side, and King Sverre, I read that as severe, was the winner. He unfriended him on Facebook. Now, King David dies at some point. King William the Lion of Scotland comes and invades. So Harald's getting it from both sides, from Norway and from Scotland. Harald gets captured by William, and Caithness is then ruled by Scotland, and he's taken to Edinburgh and gets swapped for his son Thorfinn as hostage, whom William blinds and castrates after Earl Harald beats William's other pal Harald in a battle. Old Harald then takes back Caithness and he goes back to Orkney. Whew. However, then there's no mention of his poor son Thorfinn. Then William sells Caithness to King Rognvald Godrodsson of the Kingdom of Man, and I'm thinking that this is the Isle of Man. This King Rognvald marches north but doesn't overcome the existing Vikings. Harald then maimed the Bishop of Caithness, Adam, and William didn't like this, so he came back north in 1201. And then after some negotiation, no fight, Harald gave in, and whilst he still maintained control of Caithness, he had to pay a fine of every fourth penny in tax. Actually, that doesn't sound too much like today, really. Harald had two other sons, John and David, who co-earled for a bit. David died first, and then John was murdered by one of the kings of Norway's men. John's daughter was married to one of the Angus family, and Caithness was taken further away from Norway's grasp because they keep taking it down their lineage. Not much mention from them. So then we've got an Earl of Strathearn, and then there was a Swede married a daughter. And then the Earls of Caithness and Orkney are split and then put back together for a little while and then split again. Caithness was given over to Scotland in 1266 from Norway as a part of the Treaty of Perth. And it's in 1379 that Henry St. Clair took over. And the name St. Clair or Sinclair comes from a village called St. Clair near Pont-Ilvic in Normandy, France, who came over with the Normandy invasion of England. Now, we call it Sinclair now, and it's a very common name in Caithness and Orkney. I know actually quite a few Sinclairs. In fact, I'll leave it there for you today. We will go next episode through the good earls, the not so good earls, and the wicked earls. I'll tell you what, Facebook would have been very, very busy then. I've got no drams this episode, due to his work, my training and his running, two times to drink whiskey has become a little suppressed. I have to be in the right frame of mind to do it, and that seems to not be coincided with a Friday or Saturday evening. But we do have a couple of bottles stashed ready, so hopefully tomorrow night it'll work out. And don't worry, I've not stopped this section.
Shoppy section.
But you don't have anything in your shop just now, Louise. Oh, see, I'm referring myself in the third person again. No, I don't. But I will have shortly because I had to pay the yearly subscription as mentioned in the blather, which was 99 problems, but podcast ain't one. Hit me. And I kind of need to pay for it. So I've told you a few times that I don't take monetary donations, but I would take it from you buying goods from me. I've got some lovely materials to make up some drawstring bags and a couple of wrist bags. And I've got a little notebook that has an embroidered cover on it. I will social media these things when they're available to buy. And you can send me a message if you want just to PayPal it, and then we can bypass Etsy altogether. It's much easier. I got some lovely advice from Marta last episode. Did you go and have a look at her lovely shop? Which will give me a bit of comfort in regards to selling things on Etsy. Now, to be honest, I was a bit despondent about it, as not much sold very quickly and felt unloved and unwanted. But she picked me up, dusted off my knees, told me off for putting dirt on my tights like Daisy does, and sent me on my merry way again. So if you feel that you want to contribute to my continued running of the podcast, but get stuff back off me as well, please go visit www.etsy.com/shop/KeithNessCraft. At some point over the next week. And if you're listening in the future, then go and have a look. Or message me and request something.
Blah, blah, blah section.
Thank you very much for listening and putting up with that dog. Oh, he's annoying today. He must sound really bad. I just don't want him to make too much noise for you. And I do appreciate you taking the time to download and then listen to me. My email is keithnesscraftcollective@gmail.com. I am on Ravelry as Louise Hunt. I'm on Etsy, Twitter, Pinterest, Instagram and Facebook. I'm a bit of a social media. I'm at keithnesscraft and you can access the Flickr photos from Louise G 2010 and you can get me from iTunes or your podcatcher and the Podbean site is www.keithnesscraftcollective.podbean.com. The music was from Chainsaw DuPont with 99 Miles Per Hour, which you can go and buy from musicalley.com. I do love me a bit of the blues. Du-dun-du-du, my dog is dead. Du-dun-du-du. Oh no, he's not, he's still here. Right, thank you very much for listening and do keep on crafting.